all across our country. You know, right before you go into your Bible study, right before your things, people have all these things that are going on at the surface of their life. And yet, there's another story going on behind the works. You know, even today, before you came into the worship service, maybe before you came to church, you know, when we come into Bible study and there's things happening that you talk about at church, but you don't, you know, there's so much more that's going on underneath. This morning, the message is called You Matter. And we're going to take a look at a portion of Scripture of Jesus' life where he takes the time to minister to the woman who had been suffering for 12 years and made her matter. Turning with me, if you would, with any word, to Luke chapter 8, verses 42 through 48. Listen as I read the word. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds were almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus said. And when they all had denied it, Jesus said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. And Jesus said, Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. And then the woman, seeing that she could no longer go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. And in the presence of all the people, she told why she touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Let's pray. Father, I praise you this morning. I pray for this word. Pray that you would speak right now. We love you. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen. You know, there's two questions this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning that I want you to think about. The first is, how did Jesus respond to this woman when she reached out to him? And second, how are we to be like Christ? You know, there's three things that I want to convey with us today. And the first thing is this. When the woman came, she humbly stood before Jesus. She reached out to him and he extended grace to her. You know, Jesus was a busy man. You know, when he came to earth, his primary objective wasn't to heal somebody. His primary, you know, objective was to teach about the kingdom of God. It was about forgiveness. It was about sinners coming to be redeemed. It wasn't about healing. But Jesus chose occasionally to heal people to draw their attention to the power of God and draw the attention to him, that he is the one. He is the anointed. He is the Savior. And this woman who had been for 12 years suffering through this bleeding disorder, or just, I can't imagine what it was, but a bleeding disorder for 12 years, had longed for something to remedy. She tried all that she could to remedy herself. And finally, she had got to the point in her life where she was humbled, desperate, seeking to remedy. And she reached out to Jesus. And he extended grace unto her and physically healed her. See, Jesus, when he extends grace to each one of us in our lives, he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly where you've been. He knows what he has a plan for your life. And when he extends grace onto your life, he knows what that looks like. For this woman, to have her physical body heal her meant the world. If you didn't know, when, you know, according to Jewish customs, you know, because she had this ongoing bleeding disorder, she would be cut off from the church or the synagogue. She would be cut off from her family. She would be alienated from all society work. She would not be able to have a life that would just be like a regular life. She would be banished. And for her to reach out to Jesus would be seen as making him unclean. And see, Jesus could have rebuked her. He could have said, Oh, woman, why did you touch me? But no, instead, Jesus said, You're healed. And it's your faith that has healed you. He extended grace to her. This morning, I want some crowd participation. I feel like I'm a little too high, but I'm going to stay up here. This morning, I want to ask the question before I give a couple of my thoughts. What does grace or extending being gracious to one another? And I would like to have feedback from the audience. What does it mean to be gracious to one another? Can I have a show of hands? Just throw them out. David. Okay, put other people before yourself. Okay. Somebody else. Gail.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Somebody else. A couple more. Taylor. Okay, to show kind. True, true, true. All those are good answers. I want to offer three things myself. You know, when Jesus, you know, like I said, Jesus extends grace to each of us. He extended grace to this woman. He knew exactly what she needed. He knew exactly what He could do in her life to just remedy her situation. And He showed grace to her. I want to put before you just three things. Some of them I already mentioned. To be gracious to one another means to be kind to one another. It means to put somebody else's needs before yourself. It means to, you know, let the other person be forgiven when they have trespassed against you or if they've wronged you. Some of the other ways that we can be gracious to one another is to be compassionate when one another fail each other. You know, when people look at your life, you know, and you're supposed to be the people of grace. You know, as Christians, we're the people of grace. We've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We've received this grace in our life and eternal life and salvation. And as we are in our day-to-day activities, we ought to be the most gracious people to the people around us. People should feel the extension of God's grace as we live and act in their life. And so I want to encourage us today as a body to be more gracious to one another. Jesus demonstrated grace to a woman that didn't deserve it, just as none of us deserve His grace. He extended it to us. We need to extend it to one another. And the second thing out of this real short portion of Scripture is that Jesus stops and He listens. Now, part of this chapter is that Jesus is on the go. Jesus is ministering. He's talking to people. He's healing people. And there's a crowd of people that are just following Jesus just to have their physical ailment taken care of. I've got a pain in my back. I can't hear. I can't see. Something. There's this huge crowd of people. In fact, Jesus was a busy guy. He was on his way to, you know, we learn from this chapter, He was on his way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter. But in this moment of busyness, Jesus stops and He turns and He listens to this woman who just happened to be in the crowd, just reached out to the edge of the cloak of Jesus and was healed. He stops to listen to her. I want to encourage you that there are day-to-day activities that we do, whether it's go to restaurants and we eat with people, maybe it's at work, you got coworkers, maybe it's home, you got family members, you got neighbors, you got people that, you know, when you go shopping, you just at the checkout line and you got that person that's checking you, cha-ching like that. That there are people in your life that are saying, pick me, talk to me, connect with me, to stop and to listen to what's going on in their life. And Jesus did this for this woman. He stopped in the midst of all the craziness and He focused in on her. Matter of fact, He focuses on her so that He would be glorified, so that He would be honored. It would be a demonstration. Think about it. When God does something in your life and it's wonderful and it's awesome and it's totally unexpected, God reaches out and you've been praying for something and He does something in your life, you can bet that the next day God's going to put you in a place to testify. And that's what He was doing with this woman. He touched her life. Ooh, I'm healed. Wow. He's got a crowd of people. He set up this time for a testimony of God's power and His awesomeness. So anyways, there's going to be people in your life that God's going to want you to stop, listen to them, and allow for you to share what God is doing in your life. It's depressing sometimes when I watch Christians, even in my lab, it's depressing sometimes to watch Christians never praise God for something. It's even more depressing when I go through a day and I don't praise God for something. And I want to encourage you to praise God for the things that He's doing in your life. It's an important thing. You know, not only is it just stopping and to hear one another, I want to send out this challenging question. When was the last time that we came together as church and you stopped to listen to each other? Truly listen to each other. I mean, not just, hey, I'm guilty of this. We walk down the aisle, how you doing? I'm doing fine. I'm doing okay. I'm doing great. Yep, got coffee. I'm good to go. See you later. Have a good time, Pastor. We have those moments, all of us. We do. We walk through churches and it's like that. When was the last time, though, that we stopped? And I'll just use Kevin. Kevin's right here. Kevin, Pastor Kevin, how are you doing? Just stop. And I stayed with him, engaged with him, for him to share. Josh, I'm having a good day. And it's okay. You know, and why, Kevin, did you have a good day. Oh, you know, and we stayed there and we engaged in the conversation that was meaningful. You know, sometimes in our Bible studies, we get that. We get a chance in our home Bible studies and even in our Sunday school classes, we get a chance to share with one another. We're together longer than 2 minutes. And I want to encourage us as a church to take more times to stop and to listen to each other. I know in the last couple years, maybe we've had a challenge of fellowshipping with each other, you know, fellowshipping with each other, getting to know each other. This is one of the remedies. We have to stop and we have to listen to one another. We have to make it a point to say, Ruthie and I love you, and I want to sit down, I want to talk with you, and just we can have pie and low, and we can engage, we can talk with one another and share our lives with each other. There's a restoration. I want to encourage you to do that. There's a part of that, though, listening. And listening is hard for most people. And so this morning, I want to give 3 tips to make us all better listeners. These are ones that if you've ever had, you know, training at your workplaces, you probably get these same things. It's no different than what I'm going to offer you this morning. But 3 tips that make us all better listening. For listening, I believe, I'm going to define it this way, is more than just hearing. Listening is hearing to understand the other person. That's what listening is. And I have 3 tools, 3 tips to make us all better listeners. The first is this, eye contact. Have you ever talked to somebody that doesn't look you eye in eye? Hey, how you doing? I'm doing fine. Hey, doing okay. Hey, come here. Focus here. Stay here, you know. But eye contact, you know, stay here. Stay focused on me, you know. Now, some of you got your eyes closed, and that's okay. I'm right here making eye contact with you, and I'm okay with that. See, that's good. It was good humor. Anyways, some of you have your eyes closed, but I know I've talked to you. You know, I've talked to brothers and sisters sometimes when they close their eyes, they're still listening to you. Okay. But good eye contact. Do you know, I don't know what philosopher who said this, but the eyes are the mirror of the heart. When I'm talking to you and when I'm really sharing with you, you can watch my eyes. You really know that I care about you if I'm watching you. Now, sometimes, too, you can know when somebody's lying by their eyes. I'm just talking to Ron right now. You know, I'm talking to you, and if I'm lying, my eyes will probably wander. Ron's going, you're lying to me. You're blowing steam. What are you talking about? You're lying to me. Boom. You know this if you've had small children. Did you do that? No. Well, that's your handprint. That's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And so your eyes. So it's important for us to have good eye contact. Second thing is, ask clarifying questions. You know, when you're engaged with somebody and you're talking to them and you're in a good conversation listening to it, ask clarifying questions. You know, I've been married long enough, some of you have been married too long enough, that it doesn't take long for miscommunication to happen. So you're listening to the person, you're hearing them out, and then somebody says something, you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, and you're just nodding your head. I don't know. You get busted for that. And so I want to put before you to ask questions for clarity. There's nothing wrong with it. That means that you're engaged in the conversation. You know, sometimes I'll ask a question, somebody comes for me and they're like, well, Josh, what do you think about this? And I'll say, you know, okay, you're saying this, but this is what I'm hearing. And they're like, oh, you totally misread me. You misunderstood where I was coming from. So ask clarifying questions. And the last thing, this is probably for me, maybe there's some of you out there, that when somebody comes and they're talking to you and they're sharing their heart to you, it's real easy for you to be in the midst of the conversation for you to, oh, I know the answer. And the answer is right at the top of your lips. You're just ready to share it with them. You're like, oh, you know what? If you do A, B, and C, your life will be all correct. We have to be patient, though, as you're listening to somebody, to hear them all the way through. That's important. It's showing respect to that other person you're listening to. And when you get to the end, you might realize the person doesn't want your advice at all. They just wanted you to listen. They wanted you to be, you know, they wanted to be heard out. But God also allows for the opportunity at the end, after they've been heard, now they're saying, I can listen to you now. And so I just want to give you 3 tips to make us all better learners. So first, God extends grace to this woman. He stopped. He listened to her. She testified, man, it was a great thing. And the last thing is he reassures her of his love and encourages her. You know, remember, Jesus has healed this woman. Awesome things happened in her life. When she was healed, you know, not only was her physical problem taken care of, her faith was cemented. You know, when she came and she touched out Jesus, there's somewhere in the top of her head, you know, going, I don't know if this is going to work, but if it does, hey man, it's going to work out great for me. So her body is physically healed, spirit's healed. Think about the relationship. This is a woman who for 12 years, because of her physical condition, was disconnected from probably family, friends, and anybody that she related well with. Jesus healing her. Now she can go through the purification through the church, and then she can be set as a clean citizen. Man, just the remedy that you can come back and you can have healed relationships. You can be together with the people that you love. You know, Jesus reassures her of the love and he encourages her. What I mean by that, he reassures her of the love, we're talking the last verse, verse 48. He says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Daughter. Elena is my baby girl. Elena is my daughter. And Alec is my son. Amy's my wife. Those names, wife, daughter, son, those mean something to me. You all have wives and husbands and children and daddy and mommy. Those are all relationship language. They all mean something. And there's something behind that title. There's something behind that name. And for Jesus to come to this woman, daughter, it was something, just a warm, kind of a warm breeze on a cold day. You know, he says daughter. And for a woman who had been disconnected from society, just alienated, to hear daughter, the God of the universe loved her so much. Daughter, you're welcome home. Child, I love you so much. Welcome back. You're into the fold. I've healed you. I've taken care of the situation. Now you can be one with me. That's exciting. My wife, in a couple of days, we're going to celebrate 5 years of marriage. And the word wife, you know, there's only one person on the face of the earth that has that name. Amy's, you know, there's Jesus the Lord, Amy the wife. It's like this. When it comes to, no, she's going to get me after this, that's okay. But when it comes to, on the face of the earth, there's nobody else that takes that place. Think how, well, and I'm her husband, so I'm thinking I'm special to her, but just think how that special place in her heart, that no one else on the face of the earth has that. So he reassures her, says, daughter, I love you. You're in again. But then he encourages her. It was your faith in me that healed you. Remember that. Be encouraged by that. Don't forget that. Go in peace. For the first time in 12 years, she experienced peace. You know, some of you this morning don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know that peace. Right now in your life, you're struggling through things. You know, it's difficult. Maybe work is going, you know, the wrong way. Maybe it's challenging. You can't hang in there. Maybe at home, relationships are not going the best. Maybe at church, things are not always perfect at church. But God is there, and He's encouraging us to trust Him. He's encouraging us to put our faith in Him. He's encouraging us to let Him work things out. This woman let Jesus work things out, and I think it worked out well for this woman. And so that's where the end of the message this morning. I want to ask that you rise right now. Just step this. We're done with the message this morning. You know, I titled the sermon, You Mattered. You know, and as Jeremy and I debated some, you know, we talked about some things. It can be a wrong focus for us to just say, you matter. Me, Josh, matters. Jeremy matters. Kevin matters. You know, church, we matter. But we ought to live our lives that you matter, God. You matter, Jesus. And our day-to-day activities reflect that. If Jesus matters, number one, in your life, you'll see it in the way that you talk to one another. You'll see it in the way that you act towards each other. You'll see it in the way that you read the Word and you talk to the Heavenly Father and the people that you work with. They'll know the difference if Jesus is in your heart and you're saying, you matter most, Lord. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. If Jesus is not there, number one, in your life, that you're saying, you matter the most, Lord. Put Him there. And you'll know a difference in your life. And as Jeremy come, as the music begins, maybe you're here today, and as we read this scripture and as I've shared, maybe you take the place of that woman. You've struggled. You've had pain. You've had something going on in your life that is just heart-wrenching. Like you can't go on. You know, this woman tried everything in all of her power to heal herself. She went to all the doctors. She tried all the home remedies, but nothing else but Jesus would be suffice to heal her and give her the peace that she longed for 12 years. Maybe you're here today and you've been battling something. You've struggled with something. God's inviting you right now to say, put your faith in me. Put your trust in me. I love you. And maybe today you're the person in the crowd and you've seen Jesus do awesome things in your life and you've forgotten it. I want to encourage you to come back to Him today. I want to encourage you to say, you matter most. I can't let this or that in my life come between me and you. So today we can come. I'll be forward. I'm asking Pastor Kevin to come forward too. We're going to be here. If you'd like to pray together, maybe you're going through something, I invite you to come. Or maybe today is your day when, you know, you're going to come and join the church. Maybe you've been watching, you've been a part of Bible studies. Now's your time to join our fellowship. We graciously would love to have you. God is blessed.